This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, we're going to deal with the subject of the Matrix, mind-altering or psychedelic drugs, and then, of course, other forms of achieving altered states of consciousness, such as EMF waves or electromagnetic frequency waves, and an entire spectrum of science that is fully operational that most of the people that you talk to have zero clue exists and zero clue that it's operational. So I want to talk about this because I want to establish a basic fact, and that is that the Bible talks about this. You know, isn't this interesting? Once again, we're taking this subject that seems to be a subject that would be only relegated to, you know, the last 50 or 60 years of technology or science. But once again, the Bible predicts this kind of thing thousands and thousands and thousands of years before it finally came out in the open in human history. So once again, the Bible proves that it is not just a book written by men. I mean, I could name, you know, 10 very famous spiritual books, and you could probably come up with a list yourself, just like right off the top of your head. Spiritual books that claim to be from God or claim to have the answers, but the dirty, nasty truth is they were written by men. I'll give you one example, because I can't resist, or maybe I'll... No, you know what? This example is kind of heavy, so I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you a little bit later in the show, but I'll give you a hint. It has to do with the true story of a mystical teaching called A Course in Miracles. Now, many of you have probably heard of A Course in Miracles. You probably heard about it on the Oprah Winfrey show. That, you know, Oprah Winfrey is the most prominent evangelist in the world. She probably reaches more people for her gospel than any evangelist has ever reached in human history. So Oprah Winfrey is an evangelist. If you think she's something else, you need to have your prescription on your eyeglasses changed, because she's an evangelist, and she promoted heavily A Course in Miracles. But I'm going to give you the secret truth, the secret history, the secret history behind who invented A Course in Miracles. What happened? And when I went, and I doubt many of you, no, I don't know if many of you, probably some of you who read my books know the true history of A Course in Miracles. But if you haven't, it's going to blow your mind, because it's documented and it's true. And you'd be surprised about what entity it was. And I'm not speaking about some interdimensional being or UFO or something. What entity it was that invented A Course in Miracles. And I think you'll find it fascinating. So the point is this. We now live in a time in history when people's minds can be altered, bent, warped, twisted, enhanced, super intelligence, that the human mind now interfaces with technology. I'll give you something that I read just 15 minutes before I walked into the studio today. Well, actually, I'll tell you what happened an hour after I walked into the studio today. The first thing I knew in the back of my mind, because I just came back from the mountains, was that my webmaster was busy, and she had created a video announcement. I don't like to use the word ads, because that's not what they really are. A promotional video for my book, Conquering the Matrix. And you can watch the promotional video at paulmcguire.us. And I turned it on, and I loved it. It blew my mind. I thought she captured the essence of what Conquering the Matrix is all about. And you should go. Actually, you can help the ministry if you go to paulmcguire.us and you scroll down the page just a little bit, and you'll see this Conquering the Matrix promotional video, and then just send it out to your friends. You know, but you know why I ask you to send it out for your to your friends? Because there are powerful sensors that are trying to block the flow of that kind of information. And unless you take it upon yourself to spread this message to your friends, they'll never see it, because the censorship algorithms, the computer bots, the big secret Orwellian structure right out of Orwell's novel 1984 or Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. You know, we live in a time where censorship is raging, except it's being done secretly, covertly, and subtly. So if you want to get information that is not politically correct or not officially sanctioned by the thought police out there, then you have to do your part in spreading it far and wide. It used to be on the Paul McGuire Report or anything I did. It used to be we could easily, and I'm not exaggerating at all, because I've been on the internet for, I don't know, a long, long time. And it used to be that you could send out a message or whatever, and then because the internet at that point was not highly regulated, we could easily pick up in a year's time 120 million combined viewers, listeners, and watchers. Now, we're still reaching 30 million, you know, I think it's every 6 months on all our combined social media. But we're doing it, but it's far. We have to put a lot of work into it, because there's all these computers that censor. And there's probably a lot of people that you rely on for information or people that minister to you, and they're being censored also. So it's a whole new game. So that's why I ask you to help spread it far and wide, because it used to be that what you put up on the internet, if it was interesting, it would just gain momentum and spread by itself. It would go viral by itself. But you see, we now have entire divisions of social media companies, vast computer programs in the internet and social media companies, that it is their job to make sure that certain kinds of content doesn't go viral. And so it's not a fair playing field anymore. And then, or they'll take some piece of garbage because it happens to be politically correct, and they'll give it a million views or hits. So that's why I ask for your help to spread this message far and wide. Okay, so then I read this article on Drudge Report, and I was aware of this for quite a long time, but it was since it was on the cover of Drudge Report, it prompted my attention. You know, a lot of executives in Silicon Valley, you know, the big computer tech center of the world, they have secretly been taking LSD for, I don't know, a decade or two. So they're dropping acid, and acid, of course, is another term for LSD. They're dropping acid while they're tinkering around with how to rig your search engine results and how to develop new hardware or software or ways of manipulating human minds via internet and social media technology. And the reason they take LSD is because, according to them, it helps them enter what's called a flow state. And a flow state comes from that actually comes from an old hippie term called go with the flow that was used by people like Ken Kesey, author of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So in other words, you take a psychedelic drug and your mind trips. And some of you don't know what that means. Some of you do know what it means. But when your mind trips, it can flow, kind of like a surf wave in a particular direction. And people who are creative, intellectual, or even in sports and business believe that when they're in the flow state, they can enter optimum performance. Now, when all these high-tech people and computer people and software people are taking LSD, they're not taking the full dose, okay? Like, let's pretend the LSD is in a capsule. They're not taking the LSD in the full dose to enter a flow state and work in their Silicon Valley jobs, because that would, to use an old hippie expression, blow their mind. They would be in a full blown psychedelic trip with powerful hallucinations, voices, and they wouldn't even be able to drive a car. They'd be so blasted on a psychedelic substance. So they take, it's called microdosing. The big term is microdosing. They take maybe 10% of the normal dose of LSD, or 8% of the normal dose of LSD, or 12% of the normal dose of LSD, which doesn't really put them in orbit, but it gives them a let's call it a slight psychedelic flow state, which they believe enhances their creativity, enhances their brain and their work performance. That remains to be seen. So if you're listening to me talk and you think, well, gee, if I want to be more intelligent, I'm going to drop like a tenth of a tab of acid, LSD, and I'll increase my intelligence by going into a flow state, you better watch and think about what you're doing, because there's nobody regulating the LSD, and you don't know what you're taking, for crying out loud. It may not be LSD at all. It may be a much, much, much more powerful drug. So you're taking 10% of like a complete, ultimate, mind-blowing, no return to planet Earth drug. That's not what you want to do. Number two is LSD is a dangerous drug. It's the most powerful drug I've heard known to mankind. Now, I'm not sure when I read that, and I've read that numerous times, that when they said the most powerful drug known to mankind, they meant on a neurological basis, or on what basis they meant. So let's assume it's the most powerful drug known to mankind in a neurological basis. You don't tamper with that. And I want to give this as a word of warning, especially if, I believe that people of all age groups should listen to this program. But I leave that up to you, because many of you are parents, and you are the ones that God has placed as the stewards of your children. And even though this program is, it's designed for mature content, I try to be as delicate and sensitive as I possibly can. I try to very much abide by biblical guidelines. But should there be any person in there who thinks, or who, I can tell you this right now, okay? There are people listening to me right now who have either found me independently as individuals, or they may be the teenagers or, the sons and daughters of Christian parents, and they happen to be listening in the background. Because this used to happen to me all the time. I was on the radio for 10 years doing another radio show called The Paul McGuire Show, which is 4 to 5 hours each day, drive time, in every major market in the United States. And we had one giant audience live 5 days a week. But I had a ton of what they called back then soccer moms who were in the audience, and they enjoyed the program, and so they would turn on the program when they were driving their kids to school or picking their kids up to school. So what I found out, over the years of talking to people, is I literally had a very strong hand, and may the Lord have mercy on me, but I literally had a very strong hand in helping to raise a whole lot of children all across the United States. Especially in the preteen years, because the parents would deliberately leave my radio program on loudly in the car when they would pick up their kids from school and drive them home. And then the mother, it was usually the mother would use the things in the program as a topic of discussion, because what the program did just it didn't play religious games. It brought out what their kids were really dealing with in school and stuff. So I was able to, by God's grace, offer a biblical worldview to the nitty-gritty real world of their kids' life experience. So most likely there's people listening now who are of a younger age category, or somebody will send this program to them, knowing that they're in a younger age category, and they'll listen to it. And you know why they will listen to it? They will listen to it magnetically. They will be gripped by it because, although this topic may sound esoteric and somewhat removed to many people listening, it's speaking right to where a lot of people are living, both in the younger corporate world and the world in general. So the whole idea of, well, let's expand it a little bit. The whole idea of taking smart drugs, microdosing on LSD and stuff in Silicon Valley or the entertainment industry or the business world, et cetera, this has been going on for a while. And there's you know, for the last 20, 25 years or more, there's been a ton of executives and people in all kinds of business fields going back to the old days of truck drivers. Now, we most likely have a lot of truck drivers in the audience. Why? Because it was the same way when I hosted the other Paul McGuire show on a big network of AM and FM radio stations, because truck drivers are in their trucks all the time, and they, as they drive through the United States or wherever they're transporting goods and stuff, they're big listeners of AM and FM radio. So we would get truck drivers, as most radio programs do, and they would comment. But back then, in the days of the independent truck driver and up till the current moment, a lot of these guys, they're not bad guys, okay? I'm not saying they're bad guys. I wonder whether it's not potentially dangerous, but they're either drinking tremendous amounts of caffeine or taking caffeine pills, or there's a certain percentage of truck drivers that are on some kind of amphetamine-like substance. It may be a mild substance, it may be, you know, a strong ADD medication, or there's a whole bunch of stuff to stay alert as they drive from coast to coast or whatever. Now, I'm not going to comment on the safety or the danger of that. On one hand, I can understand that this would probably make them more alert, okay, but on the other hand, and enable them to drive many, many hours without interruption, but on the other hand, even if you take a amphetamine-like substance, which caffeine, and unless you want, if you're going to get all judgmental about the truck drivers, just remember this: if you're drinking Starbucks or homemade brew or whatever, you're on an amphetamine-like substance. It just happens to be legal. So, but at a certain point on these substances, including caffeine, if you're really, really tired, what it does is it plays tricks on your mind because you're awake. But because your brain and body is not properly physically rested, it's not running in its optimal state, which means you are prey to making mistakes in judgment because your eyes are wide open. You think you're alert because you're taking drugs or you know, very strong coffee. But the point is, you think you're awake, but you're not. All of your biological perception abilities are really in a heightened condition because there's only so many hours the human body can take without proper rest and sleep. So you can be jacked up on some big, big gulp cola drink, which is a lot of people do that too. They have to stop, make frequent stops, but they get these gigantic, enormous, like cola drink type things, which are either with sugar or without sugar. But you drink a whole big gallon of this, you know, you're going to be jacked up on caffeine. But there's only so many hours you can go, and your body needs proper rest, proper exercise, and proper nutrition, so it can become dangerous. Now, I heard this, I don't know if it's true, supposedly It was from an insider to the White House, because in the line of, I don't like to call it a business, in the career that I have, I end up talking to a lot of people in different places, and this person who will remain unknown says, because the president of the United States, and I don't know if this is true, by the way, I'm just repeating from an accurate source of information who is regularly inside the White House, but as to its truthfulness, you know, you can, I can't verify and tell you that it's 100% true, but this is what I've heard. What I've heard is that President Donald Trump, because his schedule is inhuman, and because his age is you know, he's not a young businessman or something, he drinks something like somewhere between 10 or more Diet Cokes or Diet Pepsis, I forgot which it is, per day. So why is he doing that? Oh, and he drinks the non-sugar kind. So he's using artificial sweeteners. So the caffeine, you know, when you're, the caffeine that's being pumped into your brain and body is an amphetamine-like substance. Okay, so hundreds of millions of Americans, if you want to get technical, are on amphetamine-like substances based on what just the energy drinks, the coffee, the various Starbucks products, et cetera, et cetera. So it gives you, I mean, caffeine is a brain enhancer. It'll help you remember and stuff, but there's a price tag to it, is that it can't make you Superman. That's the point that I'm trying to make. Now, I want to say at this juncture of the program, and I think I want you to remember this for other programs as well, I am not a medical doctor. I am not a physician. I am not a neuropsychiatrist, a psychiatrist, or a psychologist. I do not claim to be. I'm a researcher. And I'm also a Bible teacher, and I research into science, etc. So if you're looking for medical advice or psychiatric or psychological advice or professional medical type help, please do not confuse my commentary with, you know, a doctor's advice. I am a professor or a doctor, but it's in the area of eschatology or Bible prophecy. So I just want to say that as a disclaimer. You know, please don't take something you hear from my show and run off and you need to have a doctor that you can trust and consult with your doctor, because in addition to the importance of that, everybody's body is different. Many people are taking all kinds of medications, and that's why you can't make these. When you hear these psychiatrists and psychologists analyzing President Donald Trump on a psychiatric or a psychological basis from the comfort of their living rooms, and all they've ever done is watch him on television, they immediately disqualify themselves. Because number one is, a licensed psychotherapist or medical doctor or psychiatrist could be disbarred, okay? In fact, I think it's a violation of the law to conduct a psychological psychiatric diagnosis without ever meeting the patient, and perhaps having to take blood tests or medical tests or whatever. So you're talking about quacks. All these people, I don't care whether they're on Fox, NBC, CBS, or whatever, they're quacks. They have no business analyzing Trump from the television screen with literally half-baked theories. Okay, having said that, what we, in our age, and this is where this is where what I'm discussing today totally integrates with Bible prophecy. Totally integrates with Bible prophecy. Which reminds me of a conversation I had in the last 6 months with somebody I was visiting on in the East Coast. And it goes back to what I'm constantly sharing with you on the Paul McGuire Report. People can be brilliant in particular areas. They can be highly educated, highly trained, highly scholarly, highly knowledgeable in all kinds of areas. Okay? Like anything from architecture to science to engineering to technology to history or whatever. But it doesn't mean that they know what they're talking about. That's the point. Because information in our society today is distributed on purpose in a compartmentalized manner, which means that the left hand doesn't necessarily know what the right hand is doing. And this is especially true when you get into the halls of power of government or journalism or in a major corporation or in some of the big defense industry corporations, the military industrial complex. You'll have people, for example, working with very powerful, well-known companies that are in the military industrial complex. It could be companies that send up satellites and communications. It could be rocket engine companies. I could name the names, but I don't really want to do that. So I was talking to a very, very intelligent guy. He had all kinds of clearances. Let's just leave it at that. Now, obviously, when somebody has high-level security clearances, I never ask them or even attempt to get from them confidential or secret information, because by doing that, I'm in violation of the law, and if, by doing that, they're in violation of the law. Okay, and so I even if it doesn't happen, but even if somebody wanted to come to me with high-level information, the reason it's classified is because it's classified, and I, you know, personally would like to live in the morning. And so when you're in the field, kind of field that I am in, which is like a dual field, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So on one hand, people talk to me privately about things, then they want consultation and prayer. Well, what people talk to me privately about in terms of wanting consultation and prayer, nobody finds out about that because I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm counseling them in the name of the Lord using scriptural principles. And if somebody confesses something to me or whatever, that's it. Nobody knows about it. I won't break that. That's a sacred responsibility. But also in the area of conversation, unless someone's coming to me privately for counsel and prayer, I discern whether or not the information they want to give me is necessary to counseling them as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If they're going to give me all kinds of information that's not essential to me being able to minister to them, I don't want to hear it because big problems can arise. So anyway, I was talking to this particular person who's very knowledgeable and high up, but I think this individual remarked to me something I already know, which is in these military industrial complex type corporations, information's compartmentalized. You can have one floor that they're all geniuses in one area, but in the other floor, they have no idea what the other floor is doing. It's compartmentalized. It's a check and balance. But I was talking to this gentleman about two, I don't want to give away the topics of conversation, two areas of growing concern that if I told you the areas, you would know what the areas were. One has to do, I'm going to talk about it loosely, weather changes. The other has to do with the dangers of EMF waves. especially the new 5G series of cell phones, and how EMF waves. Oh, and the third topic of conversation was the chemical fluoride, which is a matter of historical fact. I mean, you know, this is what frustrates me. This person was very historically knowledgeable. It is a matter of historical fact, documented historical fact, not by, you know, the Time Life edition things on Nazi Germany and Adolf Hitler, because they don't tell you the historical facts. But any student of history that's done their homework, it is a fact. It's not a debate. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a documented historical fact that Adolf Hitler, during Nazi Germany, made sure, I don't know what percentage, but he infused the water supply of Germany and the surrounding nations that the water people would drink and shower with was infused with a certain percentage of the chemical fluoride. And so at the beginning of World War II, they sent in an American scientist who had expertise in both medicine and related fields, and he was doing an inspection across Germany of the German water treatment plants that people were getting their drinking water from. And he noticed a peculiar oddity, because he was just a responsible scientist doing his duty. And the oddity he discovered was that there was a significant amount of fluoride. Okay, the chemical fluoride was discovered in a significant percentage in all the water drinking plants of Nazi Germany and the surrounding nations. And he was scratching his head and he was perplexed and he was trying to figure out why. Like, why is fluoride everywhere? Because at that time, it was not common knowledge, even among medical professionals, and still isn't today, what the reason would be that you would put fluoride in the drinking water. Now, here in America, we're told the lie, and I emphasize lie, that fluoride helps prevent or stop cavities. Well, again, I don't claim to be a dentist or a medical doctor, but I'm a very, very good researcher, and I have not seen any substantive, credible research anywhere that shows any correlation between using a fluoride toothpaste, drinking fluoride in your drinking water, fluoride in soda cans, fluoride in mouthwash. There's no relationship between the chemical fluoride and what you drink or ingest in your body and any measurable reduction of cavities. So this entire concept that is believed by dentists and happy moms across the United States that fluoride prevents cavities appears to be a completely bogus, made-up story with no truth to it. Now, that's a fact. You can do your own research. You don't have to take my word. You know, I regularly challenge you. If you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report, instead of... I mean, you wouldn't be listening to the Paul McGuire Report on a regular basis if you didn't trust me. But if you're new to the Paul McGuire Report, I challenge you. If I'm talking about something and you have a problem with it, or you don't think my facts are correct, or that what I'm saying is not true, I'm challenging you. I'm telling you to do this. Why? Because I'm not afraid of the truth. Don't go into your knee-jerk reaction where, like a programmed android, you know, you say conspiracy theorist. Paul McGuire is a conspiracy theorist. Why do I say that? Because if you're doing that, you're admitting and proclaiming to anybody who has a brain around you that you're intellectually dishonest. Calling somebody a name like conspiracy theorist is a substitute for disagreeing with somebody, but you don't have any facts to back it up. So in other words, if you want to wear a big sign around your head or shoulders that says moron on it, well, then go ahead and call me a conspiracy theorist. Because the only people who use the term conspiracy theorist are those people that don't have any facts or substance. So if you think I'm wrong, then put your money where your mouth is and prove it by giving me scientific, historical data from credible sources. And Bill Mayer, for example, or Al Gore are not considered credible sources. So when I talk to you about fluoride, you know, I'm not pulling feathers out of my hat. There is a chemical, there are chemical properties of fluoride. So this is what this American, and he had no political agenda. This American scientist, after inspecting all the German water treatment plants in Germany and the surrounding nations, discovers that there's a significant percentage of fluoride in all the drinking water. He can't figure out what the purpose of fluoride is. So he has to do independent research, because back then nobody knew what the purpose of fluoride was. And it turns out that fluoride is a powerful tranquilizing drug, and it's also a drug that's a precursor to the development of dementia and Alzheimer's, and it erodes the memory. Now, it doesn't do it instantaneously. It does it over time. So what we do know for a fact is that the usage and consumption of fluoride over a long period of time, I'm talking about decades, through mouthwash, through toothpaste, through drinking water, through soda or whatever, functions as a tranquilizing drug, which makes people compliant. It dulls the critical thinking abilities, and it erodes your memory capacity that could potentially contribute to Alzheimer's and dementia. That is what we do know about fluoride. There's no proof whatsoever that fluoride prevents cavities. So this scientist, highly respected, comes back with a report saying he believes that Adolf Hitler is putting fluoride in all the drinking water supplies of Germany to function in a manner that makes the German people somewhat tranquilized. They don't get upset about the totalitarian dictatorship that's taking over. It makes the people of Germany compliant, so they'll go along with the program, which is fascism, and not attempt to resist it. And over a longer period of time, people can't remember anything, and it impairs proper brain function. So that is the scientific analysis of fluoride. Has nothing to do. Fluoride is not a preventer of cavities. Now, you know, when I do research, I not only use the internet and libraries and original manuscripts, I talk to people. That's one of the greatest sources of information. So I talk to people through the course of my day-to-day life. God leads me all the time, supernatural. He literally leads me supernaturally to talk to people who are experts in various fields or who were at specific historical occasions or are related to historical figures. Like many of you know, I've done a lot of research on Bertrand Russell, one of the intellectual fathers of the New World Order, one of the Fabian socialists, one of the guys that hung out with the Huxleys and H.G. Wells. Well, through a listener of the program, it just turns out that they're related to Bertrand Russell. So I was able to get from them historical information about Bertrand Russell, one of the big planners of the New World Order, that wasn't available through any textbook or whatever, because I was getting it from a first-hand source, people who knew him or their father knew him or whatever. And the Lord does that all the time. So I was talking to a particular dentist who was a well-known Christian dentist and is well-known and well-respected in his field. And I'm very careful how I ask these questions, you know. So I was asking him about fluoride, and this is a highly respected Christian dentist, and he knew nothing. He knew absolutely nothing about the history of fluoride, what fluoride really does to the brain. All he knew is what the advertisements from the commercials, you know, that are targeted towards dentists and doctors told him, which that there are, he said, he repeated robotically. Well, we seem to believe that, that fluoride prevents cavities. Of course, there's no factual proof of that. And he was completely ignorant. So here he is, and he does a lot of kids. He's a dentist. He's very good. But I guarantee you he's giving them fluoride toothpaste, fluoride drinking water, and, you know, I'm not going to personally hold him responsible for what happened. But you see, a Christian doctor should not be getting compartmentalized information. He should think out of his little shoebox and do his homework. And I want to address that to you now. Whatever field you're in, whether it's being a mom or a dad or in any branch of study, government, education, or whatever, it is incumbent upon you, it's expected of you, that if you call yourself a Bible-believing Christian, if you claim to be born again, if you claim to be saved, if you claim to have the Holy Spirit living inside you, there should be a measurable difference between the integrity, the quality, the depth of your understanding, research, expertise, training, and knowledge versus somebody who's not saved, somebody who doesn't claim to be born again, somebody who doesn't have the Holy Spirit inside them. And you say, well, Paul, why are you saying that? Because if you read the Bible, everywhere in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, every time you read about a woman or a man that is used by God, they always went the extra mile in every area, whether it was the study of scriptures or prayer or the study of the culture or the language of the surrounding culture. They did not perceive themselves as like speed bumps, you know, embedded in a driveway or something, or on a street. So when you, if you're going too fast, you know, your car goes boom and flies up in the air like an inch or something. No, God didn't create you to be a speed bump. He created you to be, you're supposed to be the head and not the tail, for crying out loud. That's a spiritual description. If you're walking with the Lord, it talks about this in Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses. If you're walking with the Lord, and this is the prerequisite for getting all the blessings in Deuteronomy 28 for a nation or an individual. First of all, you're supposed to be worshiping the true God, not pagan gods or false gods. Secondly, you're supposed to be hearkening diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. In other words, you're reading his word diligently, you're understanding his word diligently. So you're more diligent, and you're worshiping the true God. Therefore, God pours out all these blessings upon your life that make you, he raises you up above all the nations of the earth. That's a blessing that God gives to his people if, and I'll say the word again, if they fulfill their part of the covenant, which is to worship the true God only and not false gods. And if you're reading the word of God diligently, and if you're diligently obeying the word of God, you are to be raised up by God above all the other nations and people of the earth. And part of that means, it says in the same passage of scripture, God, I want you to hear this with me. I want you to hear this with me and meditate on the full ramifications of it. God created his people to be the head in every area of life, and not the tail. I'm going to say it again. God created his people to be the head and not the tail. Now, how do we gain wisdom? How do we gain understanding? How do we gain knowledge? Well, if we want to be... See, some Christians take the... I hear this all the time, and I cringe. Some Christians walk around with a silly grin on their face. And I'll admit, in the flesh, I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to cause them physical injury. I don't want to abuse them. That's not what I'm talking about. You see, you always have to be clear on radio because somebody's going to go off on the deep end if you say something and you don't explain it. I don't want to in any way, shape, or form inflict physical harm upon anybody ever. But I'm telling you, in my flesh, which I have a flesh just like you do too, in my flesh, when I hear a Christian come to me or talk on a stage with a silly grin on his or her face saying, I'm a fool for Christ, and yes, that is the legitimate biblical term, but they're taking it out of context. You see, it's possible to take a legitimate biblical term, like, I'm a fool for Christ, which is a legitimate biblical term, but it's possible through a lack of wisdom and understanding and a lack of study of the verse to take it out of context. So they get up there, they've taken the term I'm a fool for Christ out of context, and my body is cringing because they're up there with this silly grin saying, you know, I'm proud to be a fool for Christ and all that stuff. And in my flesh, I'm just making a confession to you. You can pray for me if you want. I feel like slapping them in the face. Not to harm them, just a good right in the face, you know. Just wake up, fool. Because God did not create you to be a fool for Christ in the way that you're using the term. What Jesus meant and what the Word of God means, that you could be a fool for Christ. What that specifically means is that by believing God's word and acting God's word and doing things the way God instructs us to do them as his children, by using godly wisdom, which, by the way, godly wisdom is very intelligent and very sound, the world in their spiritual darkness may incorrectly perceive us as fools for Christ because they don't get it. You see, they don't get it. They're like narrow bandwidth people. They talk a big talk, but they don't think they're not one of the brightest bulbs on the Christmas tree. They don't think really deeply, so they're going to make a superficial assessment. It's like when I was watching, and I don't watch this program on a regular basis, but I happened to catch this program, and I can't remember the name. It was called The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or something like that. And there's, you know, it's on television, and all these guys are courting this attractive girl on television. You probably know the name of the program. So anyway, apparently one of the reasons she turned down one of her prospective suitors was because he admitted to her that he was a virgin. Now, they claim that's not why she turned him down. I don't know what the truth is. But it appeared to the television audience that she turned him down because he admitted he was a virgin. But this guy was a very masculine, handsome guy. He was a professional, I believe, a professional college athlete who's well known. He just chose to be a virgin because he chose to obey God's word and not man's word. So the world, many people in the world will perceive the fact that a really masculine man or a really feminine woman are choosing, because they want to please the living God, to be a virgin until marriage, which, by the way, is what the Bible commands. But to superficial people in the world, they will perceive them as fools. Now, that's what the Bible's talking about. When you're really obeying the word of God, the superficial people in the world that lack wisdom may falsely label you as a fool, where when time runs out, it turns out you weren't a fool, because the statistical data says things like people who wait until marriage before having a sexual relationship, the statistical probability that they will have a richer, more satisfying physical, intimate life is far higher than those who don't wait until marriage. And that the amount of divorces among couples who waited until marriage, until having physical intimacy, the statistical likelihood of them staying married and not getting divorced is far higher. So if you're intelligent and wise, there's some very scientific benefits for waiting, which is what God says. So if you're being called a fool for Christ on that basis, then you suffer that persecution, and there's not, God applauds that, your faithfulness. But if you're a fool for Christ because you're just a fool, this is a stupid example, but it just came to my head. Let's say you're getting a bunch of people and you're going to drive them in your SUV, okay, and you're going to go to a camping ground, let's say 2 hours north of Los Angeles. But you were so busy praying and reading the Bible and fasting that you forgot to fill up the gas tank, and the only gas you have can get your SUV about 30 miles towards your destination. So what happens is, because you were so caught up in spiritual things, that your car runs out of gas in the mountains on a winding road. Well, you're a fool. And don't blame it on Jesus because you were fasting and reading the Bible. You didn't take care of business. Now, that's a different kind of foolishness. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so the point here is that men and women try to, in our technological age, and they have throughout the centuries and thousands of years, mankind has used all kinds of means to increase intelligence, memory, brain performance, etc., etc. It goes back to the college days for a lot of people, long before the drug days, where they would buy all these caffeine pills, you know, like no-dose or whatever, and they'd stay all up all night cramming for their finals or exams. But now, in the last 25 years, people have become increasingly sophisticated. And so there's an entire scientific field, because the army, the military is developing smart drugs, performance-enhancing drugs that make you smarter and stronger on the battlefield that work. College students and, you know, computer geek, nerd wizards in the computer companies, they're doing things like microdosing LSD, which is taking like 1/10 of a normal dose. They're using, you know, certain amphetamine-like substances, and there's a whole consortium of drugs, hundreds of prescription drugs, countless herbs and vitamins and nutrient cocktails that will enhance your memory, enhance your focus, and help you retain knowledge. And many of these things work. But many of these things work, but they have a really nasty, dangerous downside to them. Now, I'm bringing all this up to say that we live in an age where some of the smartest, brightest people in the world are taking either performance-enhancing drugs for the battlefield or to play a chess game, or smart drugs that increase their intelligence. And there are a lot of very smart people in the big, I don't want to name the names of the institutes, but the big think tanks, the heads of the scientific departments at various and university departments for research and development, the companies that manufacture computer software, economists, many, many people now are secretly incorporating the use of smart drugs or smart nutrients, et cetera, into their daily routine to give themselves an edge over other people. And the reality is, this stuff works. Now, don't go out and buy it. This stuff works, but you have to be warned. Some of the stuff will kill you because you're not a doctor. You're taking it or mixing it with toxic other things. Okay, it can cause heart attacks and all kinds of things. Many of these drugs are not tested There's no clinical trials over what happens when you use them for a long period of time. And then many of these drugs and herbs and stuff have these quirky side effects that can be very lethal and dangerous to you that show up after time. But the point is, it's now part of our modern culture. And this goes way back to ancient Egypt, ancient Babylon, and so on and so forth. Okay, so this is an important topic. Why? Because we're not talking about, you know, a bunch of hippies in a commune taking it. We're talking about movers and shakers in our society in all disciplines, where a fair percentage of them are, I don't call it cheating. I think it's stupid to call it cheating. Well, technically it is cheating. I mean, if you're talking about the Olympics and you're doping and you're using smart drugs to enhance your performance, which many people have been caught doing, it is cheating. Why? Because there are official rules which say you're not allowed to use these hormones, these drugs, these substances, including like cold pills, you know, because they can give you energy. So in that sense, it is cheating because there are very clearly written official rules in Olympics and other professional sports which say you're not allowed to dope or use drugs to enhance your performance. So in that situation, yes, you're cheating if you're using these drugs because the rules of the game are that you're not allowed to. But when it comes to the military battlefield and many other areas of life, and this is an ethical debate, I can't answer this for you, but if there's no rules against it, you're not necessarily cheating. And in the military, they've been using all kinds of drugs, concoctions, foods, nutrients for hundreds and hundreds of years, for crying out. They were using, I'll tell you back when we come back, they were using psychedelic drugs way back thousands and thousands of years ago in the military to defeat their enemies. Okay? So this is something that has been common to man, but now it's becoming increasingly common. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. I believe this program is very important to a whole lot of people, and that if you pray, the Lord will lead you to their mind, and if you think about it, the Lord will lead you to their to them, and you need to send this edition of the Paul McGuire Report to them because it'll speak to them, because they're into something. You don't know what they're into, but they're into something, and this will hopefully provide some guidance for them. So visit paulmcguire.us, that's paulmcguire.us, and we have all kinds of social media icons. You can send a link on all kinds of social media. They can hear the program for themselves. And absolutely, with no question about it, you can go to paulmcguire.us, look at the new promo video that our webmaster Susan did on conquering the matrix, and learn about something that is true. Because knowledge is power. And, you know, we live in a fallen world. And maybe you're not taking smart drugs or brain-enhancing drugs or technology. But there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of other nations that are. And you need to know about it. And you, most of all, which we're going to get into in a moment, you need to know where this comes from spiritually, because it has a spiritual ancestry to it, and you need to find out what it is. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We will be back in just a moment. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We're talking about a variety of subjects, basically the potential to transform, enhance, and yes, destroy your mind with the use of mind-altering drugs and various other technologies. Now, this is not something that is a speculation of what the future might bring. This is happening right now. And by happening right now, it's been happening for hundreds of years. In fact, it goes all the way back to ancient Babylon, ancient Egypt, the great super civilizations, the pagan nations in Canaan, which eventually became Israel. And I believe it began on Mount Hermon, where the 200 fallen angels descended upon Mount Hermon, and they were attracted to human females. The Bible, in reference to the Book of Enoch, talks about the fact that these fallen angels mated with human women and produced a genetic hybrid, which was the combination of DNA from fallen angel DNA intermixed with human DNA, which produced the hybrid race of the Rephaim, and then those that came from the Rephaim were known as the Nephilim. Now, people say, oh, well, you said the Book of Enoch. Well, you don't even have to read the Book of Enoch to gather that information. You can read the Bible itself. There's numerous passages. In fact, if you want a detailed study, simply read my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America. I go into detail. That's an important source for you, and it's fast-moving, fast reading. But, you know, as a teacher of the Bible, as somebody who's a professor of eschatology, which is a fancy name for Bible prophecy, I have taught the Bible itself. I've taught various theological disciplines for a major evangelical university and seminary, one of the most prominent ones in the world. And I taught things like Israel and Bible prophecy, the church, eschatology or Bible prophecy. And I began to realize, I was asked by Dr. Jack Hafer, who was one of my primary spiritual fathers in the Lord. I was with his ministry. When I say I was with his ministry, I worked closely with his ministry. I was a member of his church with my wife and family, and I taught at both his early Christian school called the Hafer Bible Institute. And then I became a professor for the King's College and Seminary for many, many years for Dr. Hafford. And Dr. Hafford, well, I have nothing but fondness and gratitude towards the man for the spiritual maturity and input he put in my life. And he asked me to be one of the major contributors in a Bible called the Spirit-Filled Life Bible for Students, the New King James Version from Thomas Nelson Publishers. And my job was to, and for those, I always have to say this because there's always people out there who say, oh, he's making it up, blah, 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 blah. And, I almost never answer them, but occasionally you have to back up. I don't like to do it because it's always misconstrued as bragging, and that's not my intention. But the fact of the matter is, if you are somebody who is a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you are a Bible teacher, if you are in any way, shape, or form standing up for God, the things of God, the Bible, you're going to be attacked on the front line, okay? And they will always accuse the enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And most of them, by the way, most of the most vicious enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ are those who masquerade to be Christians, Bible-believing Christians who love his word. Now, that's not my assessment of the situation. Whenever I talk to people like Chuck Misler, or Dr. Jack Hafford, or I could go on and on of major Christian leaders that most likely you know their name. Without exception, they will tell you, David Hocking, without exception, they'll tell you the greatest attack that they receive upon themselves personally and their ministry is from people who claim to be Christians, who claim to be defending the faith, who do have some knowledge of the scripture, but are in fact motivated by, I'm not saying possessed, but motivated by a spirit of Antichrist. And to prove to you that these people who are the self-proclaimed, and with, almost without exception, the people that are doing this attacking of other ministers and ministries, almost without exception, they have no credentials and they have no endorsement in terms of accountability by major respected Christian leaders. They're all lone rangers. And so they take these shots at people who are actually in the ministry, and they don't have to worry about repercussions because nobody knows who they are. They just have a blog site or a website. So I'm simply giving you this reference to preempt any lying attack on what I'm saying. So if you read the introduction of the Spirit-Filled Life Bible by Dr. Jack Hayford, you'll see in the list of contributors at the top of the page is executive editor Jack W. Hayford, and his list of theological credentials is endless. And then you'll see on the left-hand page, it says Word, Wealth, and In-Text Notes, Paul McGuire, author, speaker, Bible teacher, Paul McGuire Ministries. And essentially, I wrote, obviously not the Bible, but I wrote all the, when you open up the Bible, these large paragraphs or these page-long or half-page-long Bible study notes that help you understand what a passage is talking about. And I wrote from Genesis to Revelation, and I wrote all the, what were called the Word, Wealth, and In-Text Notes. And you'll see them surrounded by boxes, and what you will see is a particular word of importance lifted out, like agape or whatever, and I will write the translation of what agape means in contemporary English, the background, so on and so forth. So I made a sizable contribution. I mean, obviously God's word is front and center of the book, as it should be. But in terms of the notes and the explanations, I mean, I wrote hundreds and hundreds of pages to this thing. And I'm very thankful for that. Now, my purpose in citing the proof that I am among the executive contributors is simply this. There will be somebody out there saying that I'm lying. And I don't often defend myself, but in this case I will, because we're talking about a theological matter in which whether or not you have legitimate theological authority or not, I want to proactively challenge somebody from making up a lie about me. If you want to know whether I contributed to the Bible, just open the Bible, and it's plainly evident that what I'm saying is true. So enough of that. Now, what I tried to do, by the way, as the one of the main contributors, is I tried to make this the truth of God's word accessible to the ordinary person. I tried not to write in the stuff that I did. If you read it, you'll see I snuck in a lot of like titles of like rock and roll songs and stuff. And I can see somebody having a heart attack. Well, that's your problem. Because I wanted it to be accessible to the average person. So it wouldn't be some like overly theological book. It would be a real world book, you know, that deals where the notes address, connect the Bible to the real world. Because that's my burden, is to connect the Bible to the real world. And if you can't connect the Bible to the real world, then you're not a minister. You failed as a minister. So I'm going to read you something from the book of Revelation. Many of you are probably familiar with it. But it talks about sorcery. Now remember, in the ancient world, whether we're talking about Babylon or Rome or Egypt or whatever, the use of magic, the supernatural, sorcery, the occult was very common, and it was very common in the highest places of government in the ancient civilization. So in the court of Pharaoh or the court of the king of Babylon and so on and so forth, you're constantly reading, you know, that these men had like hundreds of magicians and prophets. That by prophets, they had men who actually prophesied over these occult kingdoms. And they used mind-altering drugs as part of their thing, psychedelic drugs, as we would use with today's terminology. And one of the words you'll see in relationship to sorcery in the book of Revelation and throughout the Bible is it comes from the root word pharmakia, from which we get the modern word pharmacy from. And that specific, and I write a whole thing about it here in the Bible, but that specifically denotes the connotation between the practice of the occult art of sorcery or magic, or the occult art of prophecy, and its relationship with the use of mind-altering psychedelic drugs. And that's an important concept to know. Because ancient sorcery, ancient occultism, ancient occult rituals quite often incorporated the use of a vast array of what we today we would call psychedelic drugs and substances. And what a psychedelic drug or substance is, it's a chemical, and you can either smoke it or drop it, you know, ingest it in your body like a pill or a potion or whatever, or smoke it or whatever, and there's other means of taking psychedelic drugs. And what these drugs will do, depending upon how strong they are, is they will alter your state of consciousness. Now, why it's important for you to understand the dynamics of this is that, as I have wrote in my books for years, many of you know, and I was challenged on this, which is absolutely absurd. It's just like ludicrous. I had a dual major at the University of Missouri. One was filmmaking, and the other was within the field of the psychology department of the University of Missouri. I majored in altered states of consciousness, which was the scientific study of the use of psychedelic drugs, gurus, New Age teachings, astral projection, and everything to do with the science of altering your consciousness. And I had one lying person. You know, let's get real. There are thousands, if not more, tens of thousands. They're either computer-generated trolls, or they're human beings getting paid a little on the side. And what they do is they attach themselves to conservative or Christian or Bible prophecy type people. Many of the people that you frequent are attacked by them also. Anybody who's doing anything for Jesus is attacked by them. And this particular individual, I won't even repeat the lie, but yes, indeed, I majored in altered states of consciousness. I have the grades to prove it, and they're good grades, by the way. A's, A pluses, and a couple of A minuses. And I had to supply that, by the way. I couldn't get into, after university and college, I couldn't get into a master's program without fully supplying to the theological school in which I was enrolling to get a master's degree in theology. I couldn't have gotten in if I didn't supply my transcripts, which are my official records of grades. And you know that if you've ever gone from one school to another. So, I mean, you know, as bizarre as those fields sound, I majored in them. That's what I studied in. No apology, no retreat, no surrender. So, you know, when somebody attacks me on that, I mean, I laugh. I don't even bother to. It's not even a questionable thing. I couldn't have gotten my master's degree if I didn't provide my academic credentials. And then I went on and taught as a professor of eschatology, or a doctor of eschatology and Bible prophecy. Anyway, in this Bible in which I wrote the notes, I'm translating a word that's used in the book of Revelation, which has to do with sorcery, which is connected to the word pharmakia, or some people say pharmacia, and that is the usage of psychedelic or mind-altering drugs in connection with occult rituals and activities in ancient societies and ancient occult secret societies. So whether you're talking about ancient Babylon or ancient Egypt or ancient Rome or ancient Canaan or the fallen angels descending upon Mount Hermon, up until our present time, you will see that there is always, historically, up to the present date, been a close relationship between mind-altering psychedelic drugs, occult rituals, satanic rituals, and psychedelic drug use. All right? And that's important to understand. Now, psychedelic drugs, which are mind-altering drugs, can be, depending upon which drug they're talking about and what dosage, they can be legitimate drugs to heal and enhance and empower the mind. People who suffer from serious clinical depression benefit by certain antidepressant drugs or anti-anxiety drugs. Many scientists have used brain-enhancing drugs, which they call smart drugs, which increase your brain power, your memory power. Kids with, or adults that have ADD or ADHD can benefit from ADD drugs, but the potential for abuse of ADD drugs is also very high. And also, there's a very overly casual approach to diagnosing people with certain brain challenges, which may be non-existent. In other words, there's a lot of kids who just have a high-powered imaginations and are bored with the tedium of a in-the-box thinking class, and just to keep them quiet, the school psychiatrist or whatever doses them with things like Adderall and other amphetamine substance-like stuff for ADD. Now, having said that, I think it would be very foolish and irresponsible to universally make the blanket statement that every child who's taking an ADD drug or an ADHD drug or whatever, to insinuate, which I've heard on a regular basis, that the Christian parents are irresponsible, or that the kid definitely should not be taking a ADD drug, to make that blanket statement, I think is very irresponsible and can potentially do a great deal of harm. Because the fact of the matter is, whether you like it or not, we live in a fallen world, and none of us, that's you and me and everybody else, none of us in our biological state, our mental state, physical state, etc., none of us are operating up to the standard that Adam and Eve had, which was perfection, prior to the fall of mankind. So we're all operating in one degree or another in a degraded state, where not everything that God built into us is operating perfectly or functioning at the level that it should be functioning at. Therefore, a Christian parent should become as educated as possible, study as much as possible. Nobody should just go along with what the doctor says and turn your brain off, because God gave you a brain to use it. You need to pray and do your own evaluation. And that doesn't mean you talk to your friend who blabs on endlessly and has no idea what they're talking about. I'll give you an example. This is, just shows you how tragic bad advice can be in the Christian culture. I'm doing a program, I think, on Christian kids and ADD and ADHD. Oh, I don't know, 15 years ago on the Paul McGuire show, a nationally syndicated show. And this guy calls up bragging about his testimony. He's a minister or a lay minister or something. And he's bragging to me about how many kids have come to him who were diagnosed with ADD and they were having serious problems, and that when he laid hands on them, he cast the spirit of ADD out of them and they were miraculously healed and the parents rejoiced. Okay, that sounds great. Problem is, you know, God gave me a brain, God gave you a brain, and not only that, he gave us the Holy Spirit that lives inside us, the Spirit of Truth. And anyone who's in Christian leadership, and anyone who is mature in the Lord and walks with the Lord, you develop the habit when you walk with the Lord personally of listening to his Holy Spirit and being guided by his Holy Spirit. So even though what the guy said, well, first of all, what the guy said did not resonate with me in terms of basic principles of wisdom. Number two is the Holy Spirit inside of me was uncomfortable. And when the Holy Spirit inside of you is uncomfortable, whether the facts seem to line up or not, you need to pay attention to the Spirit of God inside you, because the Spirit of God inside you was put there by God in order to guide you. So when you sense an uncomfortableness or a lack of peace, well, guess what? Wake up and smell the coffee. That's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth of Almighty God, warning you that something is amiss. Something's not quite right with what you're seeing, hearing, or being told. And when you develop the habit of walking with the Lord, you also become more intimate with the Lord. The more intimate with the Lord you are, the more you'll be able to recognize his voice and distinguish his voice from the voice of your own inner imagination, the voice of somebody else who claims to be speaking for God. Do you understand what I'm saying? One of the most important things you can do as a regular, ordinary Christian or a Christian in ministry is, it is simply not enough to know about the Lord. That's not enough. Okay? There's plenty of pastors and ministers and theologians and Christians who know all about the Lord, but they don't know the Lord. It's like this, and I'm not trying to put myself up on a pedestal. There are people who know all about Paul McGuire, the individual, me, okay? And they say stuff or whatever. Not necessarily bad stuff, but they're making appraisals. They know all about Paul McGuire because everything they know about me, they got from a third-hand source. Then there are those people who actually know Paul McGuire. And there's a big difference between the people who know Paul McGuire and the people who know all about Paul McGuire, because the people who know Paul McGuire know what Paul McGuire is really like as a person. Now, when you listen to my radio program, the Paul McGuire Report, 2 hours a day, you're going to know, you're not going to know about Paul McGuire, because radio is intimate. And I don't do a scripted program where I'm, you know, hiding behind a script. What you hear is what you get. So people who listen to the Paul McGuire Report as long-term listeners, you know Paul McGuire. You actually know him because of the intimacy of the radio medium. But if all you knew about me was what you read, you wouldn't know me very well. So there's tons of people who have been trained theologically who know all about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus because they don't walk with him. So if you want wisdom in life, the Bible says in Proverbs continually, gain wisdom, pursue wisdom, search for wisdom as if she was gold or silver and precious jewels. If you want real wisdom, it's not enough just to know about Jesus and God. What gives you real wisdom is not just knowing about God and Jesus, it's actually knowing Jesus and knowing God and walking with God and Jesus in intimacy. That produces real wisdom. So when you're in the habit of walking with Jesus in intimacy, you can hear error in somebody's voice when they talk about Jesus, because you know they're talking about him, that they don't know him, because it's not bearing witness to what you know about Jesus from your own personal walk. Okay, so this guy gets up there and says, he all these parents come to him, and he was casting ADD demons out of him. That did not ring true with me. I believe in the miraculous, but that didn't ring true to me. So I asked them some questions, and they didn't, they were too cute. They were too, you know, put the microwave tart in the oven or whatever, the microwave or whatever. And it comes out, you know, 20 seconds later warm. It was just too cute. So as I asked him about his follow-up, what were the results a month, a year, 2 years, 10 years down the road. And he had none. So, you know, I was polite, but I got rid of him off the air because he was not credible. And he was lecturing the audience and kind of rebuking parents for going to doctors and, if necessary, having their children take ADD medication. Now, I have no problem with somebody making that argument who's qualified to make it, but he was not. And I could, if I, as the host, I'm kind of like the steward, I'm responsible. If I allow this disinformation to go forth and young lives are destroyed, I'm personally responsible. That's why I never claim to be a doctor or a psychiatrist. I say for those decisions, you need to go to a qualified professional. I'm simply a researcher, a minister, and an author. Okay, so, but what I'm trying to say here is, There's what I would call is the overprescription of these ADD type drugs. Okay, when they're being given to kids who don't really have ADD. Now, just to shut them up. Okay, now, but on the other hand, there are definitely children, boys and girls, who have legitimate diagnosed learning disorders. In which, again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not giving you doctor's advice, in which the usage of certain ADD, ADHD medications may be beneficial to them, help them learn, and then hopefully they will only have to take them for a certain season in their life, and then they can do without them. But you have to be very careful. What kind of medication are you talking about? What kind of dosage? And you got to do some research. Okay, so not all of these medications are bad and evil and sinful, and you're not sinful by taking some of these medications, but you must do your own homework. Now, so they can benefit some people, but you see, even if a certain dosage is benefiting a child, at another dosage it may be wrecking the child. Because it definitely has an impact on the neurological pathways inside the human brain and the biochemistry. Now, then, there's a lot of misdiagnosis. There may be people that are tremendous, you know, they're very powerful individuals. They think independently. God bless you. I'm your brother in Christ. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.